Hello, and welcome to Branch Rust Live number 66.
This week on the podcast, immigration is finally going to pass in the Senate, but still has a snowball's chance of hell of passing in the House.
And what do Edward Snowden and Carmen Sandiego have in common? We have no idea where in the world either of them are.
After the success of his fake Dream Act, Obama plans further unilateral action to save Miami from environmental destruction.
Paula Deen isn't the only celebrity to say something completely dumb this week.
Plus, we take on the world's most powerful mafia with a freestyle rant against the Catholic Church, because hey, why not?
All this and more. Plus, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram. This is Brain Trust Live. Exciting news, friends. We're on Instagram. Brain Trust Live.
We're Instagram. Only 5 years behind all of the 22-year-olds out there.
You know, people are... Instagram seems to be really picking up steam lately.
It's like Twitter. A friend, me and a roommate, an old roommate of mine, joined Twitter like when it first started. It was really big in Europe, and he's British, and so we were hearing about it from all of his friends.
Sure.
And so we joined. We were on it for 10 minutes. We couldn't figure out what we were supposed to do with it,
right.
And then
we're still
not really sure.
Yeah.
I feel like Instagram is the next frontier of that Twitter, because I joined Instagram like 2 years ago or something.
Yes, same.
Like when it first came out and everyone was like, oh, look at all these photo filters. And I was using it to use photo filters for photos that no one's ever going to see.
You were probably just posting on Facebook.
I wasn't even posting them.
Oh.
I was just using the filter,
sure,
keeping them private on Instagram, and then moving on with my life, and no one ever saw any of them. And now I've reached a moment where I've realized that every single person in the world is on Instagram.
Right. I feel like I started realizing that it needed to happen when... our friend Lauren on Friday informed me that they have 15-second videos that you can do now. Similar to Vine, but Vine is only 6 seconds.
15
seconds really gives you a lot
twice
more.
Twice as much video.
I've already been the star of a few pretty heroic 15-second Instagram
Some of the great Instagram videos out there.
I was singing in both of them.
Yeah, well, that's what you do.
Doing some real singing last night.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so we're on... We're going to be posting some videos.
Our name is Brain Trust Live on it, as you might imagine.
We already posted a picture of us prepping for the podcast, which was a picture of Lyle and I in a pool having an intense discussion, because that's what we were doing this afternoon.
Right.
Like you do on a Sunday.
Like you do.
In
L.A.
Yeah.
We're in L.A.
Yeah, you go to the pool.
You go to the pool.
Cook some
we
food.
We finally have a friend who has a pool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
We've been waiting for years for this moment to come.
So anyway, so Instagram.
Follow us.
It's happening. We're late to the party, but we don't care. It's going to be awesome. So just follow us.
Be there.
Branch Rust Live, Instagram.
And before we get into the bulk of the podcast...
Yeah, there's a few things that we should mention that are going on sort of right now. You're going to be listening to this on Monday, which may be the day that we find out about DOMA and Prop 8.
Yeah,
which
that might be... You might know that information by the time...
While you're listening to this.
You listen to this
so
podcast.
Hopefully it's good news. Hopefully you know good things.
Fingers crossed.
Yes. And the other thing is that we're finding out today that Nelson Mandela is in critical condition again, which he's been in a lot recently, but it sounds
it's potentially one of the
most critical of his conditions recently.
He's various.
So we hope that he ends up being okay, but it sounds like that...
That might be the other news you get this week, which would be less... Well, there's a potential for both of these things to be unhappy news.
Right.
We're hoping that both of these... Stories we just brought to you will end well, but that one is not looking good, and we hope that he and his family are staying strong or whatever you do in a situation like that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to ask for prayers
for them.
I can do that.
I'm certainly not.
I can do that, though.
Yeah. Brent might ask for prayers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm certainly not, because I have a lot of thoughts on the Catholic Church this week.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, I don't think that they're Catholic, but it's led me to thoughts on church in general and religion.
Yeah.
So we might talk about that later.
Later. We probably will.
Yep. It'll definitely come up at some point.
Yeah. But probably the news of the week, anyway, there are probably two big stories this week anyway.
Yeah.
And it looks as though we're going to get a pretty decent chunk of the Senate to vote on this immigration bill. Up to potentially 70 people, Lindsey Graham said.
Which means that one of the bill authors, Marco Rubio, might support his own bill. Because he was just waiting for
a winner to come through. Been going back and forth. He wrote this bill. He sort of farted it out into the universe. And then debated with himself on all of the political talk shows over the past month as to whether it was worth voting yes on, basically. Which was
He wasn't the greatest bill salesman out there.
Not really.
If someone had to look for a great salesman of bills, it wouldn't be Marco Rubio.
No.
But they have like an agreement on an amendment to the bill that would address a lot of the concerns that Republicans have been bringing about border security.
Right.
And so they're going to vote on, they're going to do a procedural vote on that on Monday at 5:30, and then we'll know whether they're going to be able to vote on the regular bill. Yeah. Because if that passes, there's a chance that they'll get like 70 votes in the Senate for the immigration bill.
And basically what the amendment was, which was put forward by Corker and Hoeven, the Gang of Two.
The Gang of Two.
Which is not a gang.
That's not a gang.
Also, stop calling them gangs.
That's a duo.
Right. It's like, it's Lila said because this is the immigration bill, they should call it the
cartel.
The cartel.
The cartel of two. The cartel of eight.
Yeah. But like, first off, two people is not a gang.
No.
Second off, just stop doing that.
You can just call two people so many cooler things than gang.
Yeah.
Like, you can be a fantastic duo at two. Mm-hmm. Once you can use duo, you have, the world opens up to you. I mean, there's so many more options at that point. Don't be a gang of two. That's not a gang.
Dumb.
That's two guys hanging out.
But anyway, their amendment basically, it's a big sort of like border strengthener, which was what the Republicans wanted. So it's got 20,000 border patrol agents, $3.2 billion in high-tech surveillance equipment on the border, and a requirement to complete the 700 miles of fencing along the border.
So it's basically a requirement for us to waste tons of money on nothing, which is what they love.
I was going to say, we found something that Republicans are willing to spend $3.2 billion on.
That would be high-tech surveillance equipment to keep Mexicans out of the country.
Yeah.
That's where they want our tax dollars to go.
Yeah.
They don't want poor Americans to have food stamps.
No.
But they're certainly food.
They would just
housing.
Probably prefer that they would stop existing.
Exactly.
More than likely.
Could starve them out. But they would like us to give major fence-building contracts to fence-building contractors.
Yeah.
And they would like us to spend a lot of money on toys that their buddies can use, to spy on the border
and building a wall. They're oftentimes obsessed with like building ridiculous things.
Yeah,
like this wall with sort of the Star Wars situation. Like they always want to build. They want to build crazy things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that way the money doesn't go to people. It goes to an inanimate object of some sort.
Right.
And the money that gets
exchanged. Well, we can't give you food stamps because there's a lot of money wrapped up in this giant wall.
Exactly. Like, and that way the money that does get exchanged only goes to a CEO. It doesn't go to anyone else.
Right.
You get, like, some minimum wage workers.
Yeah.
People probably who are then going to be kept out by the wall once it's in place.
Right.
And, the rest of the money goes to some rich guy who's already rich.
They really should be selling. They should be selling this as a jobs bill.
They're not that smart.
They're not smart enough.
No. That's anything that they should be doing.
20,000 border patrol agents.
Yeah.
20,000 jobs.
That's right. Jobs to keep 20,000, it's a job that helps you keep other potential workers out of the country, too. So that really...
They're probably not, because the Border Patrol agents are government workers, and they also probably don't want to talk about the people building the fence, because they're union workers.
Correct.
So, these are all forms
either
of... These are all forms of jobs that they don't approve of.
It's either that, or it's sketchy contractors hiring undocumented people for unfair prices, and then not...
Wouldn't that just be
that
really...
That would make my
meta
life.
If
that came out... That would solve everything in my head for...
Illegal workers building the wall to keep illegal workers
Well,
out.
I feel like that's probably what happened.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this probably happened before. We were driving back from Yuma, and it was just like fence city over there.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is this not...
A suspect fence, too, by the way.
Really suspect fence. Like, the kind of fence you might build, like, between... Like, the kind of fence that the, like, substation near my house has.
Yeah.
Is that fence impenetrable? No.
No.
A person can just walk through that
fence
at any time.
Well, that's why, obviously it's not, because we have 12 million undocumented workers. They're getting over the fence.
Yeah. This is not a rocket science-built fence.
No.
In any case, there are a lot of other sort of, like, little parts of this amendment that are sort of, like, gimmies to various to various other Republicans. There's the Nevada Senator, Dean Heller, was looking for some sort of, high-tech, like, biometric...
At airports
where they're going to put those in the 10... An entry-exit system at the 10 busiest airports.
Yeah.
And but he also wants to cut wait times at airports, so he had that. Orrin Hatch wanted us to toughen back taxes and benefit provisions for immigrants in the bill, and they adopted some of what he had been proposing.
In that
Corker-Hoeven bill.
Yeah.
But it looks like that... I mean... What everyone's been saying is that they would support the bill if it had tougher border patrol. This sort of calls their bluff, because a lot of the time people say that kind of thing because they don't want to vote for a bill just because they don't want to be agreeable.
So, like, what's wrong with this bill to the 30 people who are going to vote no on?
Like, those people are going to have to come out of the closet as just sort of, like,
racist.
Latent racists. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or not even latent.
Latent.
They're not.
No. Overt racists.
They're overt racists. but... I think that this is sort of like, they basically are giving the GOP everything that they asked for, so
it's,
it would be a good time for them to just start voting for this bill.
Well, and also, not only that, here's another reason to vote for it. Because it's... because
you want to be reelected one day.
You want to be reelected, and it's dead on arrival in the House.
Yeah.
So you can vote twice for it if you want. I mean, because it's not going to... nothing's going to happen. So just vote for it.
Yeah.
It should be 100-0, because even if you oppose it vehemently, you can go to sleep at night knowing that nothing's going to happen to
you. You haven't voted for a bill that's going to get anywhere past where you voted it to.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Because the one thing that we have been talking a lot about this week is how, regardless of what happens in the Senate, and kudos to them for trying something, it's nice to see that they're at work doing a job.
Right, exactly.
But no one thinks that this bill is going to pass the House, and the reason that we all don't think that is because Boehner couldn't get the farm bill passed this week.
Right.
On Thursday, that got voted down.
All the congressional observers and experts thought that farm bill was sort of like a slam dunk. And then there was some backfighting.
There was some backfighting, and he basically got taken out by Cantor. So
he's a sly
Eric
one.
Cantor is a sneaky bastard.
Creepy, also, too.
Real
like,
creepy.
I mean, like, sly, and just, like, I wouldn't even want to buy a used car from that man. It's amazing to me that he keeps getting reelected, because he just looks like someone who you wouldn't want to watch your children. I mean, he's just sort of like, ugh.
Yeah, he's a creeper.
Foul man.
Eric Cantor.
Sorry.
And we've proven that, because he can't even cooperate with his own... party.
No, he totally threw Boehner under the bus here, because Boehner came out in favor of the bill, which he sort of, like, doesn't often do a lot of times.
But he knew that the farm bill needed to get passed, and he knew that they needed to do something over there.
So then the first time Cantor said anything publicly about it was on the floor of the House, and he said it in regards to, like, this sort of, like, other amendment that was being pushed that was going to tie welfare...
It was going to basically require, like, anyone who... That's Brent's dog. We're not going to stop again. We stopped once. We're just going to keep going.
Right.
Brent has a dog,
house,
guys.
It would be crying babies.
Exactly. We don't have any options here, people. But in any case, it basically is going to require that food stamp programs adhere to the same work regulations that welfare programs adhere to. So it's going to mean that in order to get food stamps, you have to be a part of, you have to fulfill the federal work requirements that welfare people.
And
also,
so because of this amendment sort of like being included,
Democrats aren't voting for that.
It peeled off enough Democratic votes to like basically just get totally harpooned.
Yeah, basically. And because of that, basically, all anyone did all week was question whether Boehner has the wherewithal to get this immigration bill passed.
Answer, no.
Answer is no. Right.
These
are some long articles that spent a long time discussing a simple question.
Yeah. But I think Boehner also knows that the Republicans in the House don't really feel like they have any reason to pass this. They're all in gerrymandered districts. They don't care. They're all in districts who probably... have people who are basically voting on things because they are not latent racists. They're overt racists. And there's just, he has also sort of secretly, like, just that he said this week that he is going to use the Hastert rule, that he's not going to bring this to a vote without the majority of his caucus, which basically means it's not even going to get voted on. So, I mean...
Well, he doesn't want to bring it to a vote and then have this happen.
No, he doesn't want to vote on it, I don't think. And they're not going to... they're probably going to vote on their own thing, which is going to be terrible. The Republicans are going to write an immigration bill, and it's going to just basically be a bill that's not... they're going to call it, like, the, you know, Great Immigration Bill of 2013, and it's going to be a bill about rounding up all the brown people and shipping them back to their home countries.
Yeah.
And then... they're going to have to go to conference with the Senate and come up with some equally terrible bill that probably won't be able to pass the Senate.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, you and I have been saying for a long time that this thing is not going to get passed, and something may, but it's going to be terrible. Whatever gets passed is going to be bad.
Well, it's going to be ineffective. I'm proud of the Senate for trying something.
Yes.
It's in this environment, it's ballsy of them to try to pass legislation at all. No one's been doing their job for so long. It's a surprise that they know what procedures to follow to even try to.
Yeah.
But, you know, they... And I'm hoping that this puts some pressure on Congress to sort of figure their shit out. Because people are going to be like, well, if the Senate can work their shit out...
Yeah.
And they need 60 votes to get anything passed, why are we sitting in here not able to get the House to do anything?
Yeah.
We don't even have the majority party in the House can't even agree amongst themselves about what they think.
Right.
So, like, who even knows what they're up to? But hopefully this is sort of, like, one of the moments that we know.
You would think.
Those moments never come.
I was going to say, we would have thought that gun control would have been one of those moments. I mean, there's been
so many moments.
A lot of moments.
The year's really been a collection of moments.
Uh-huh. Failed moments.
Yeah. Moments of failure. I would like to see a list of every bill that's passed the House in the, like, since this new term started.
Oh,
just
yeah.
out of curiosity to see what they are passing over
yeah.
there. They're doing something. They show up to work.
Yeah.
And they vote on stuff. And
yeah.
stuff does get passed. And it's all, like, procedural stuff and boring
yeah.
stuff. But I'm sort of curious, like, whether we can actually see any real legislation coming out of the House at all.
Yeah.
It's probably two-thirds people voting to repeal Obamacare. And then, like, another third of them voting to continue to pay themselves.
Like,
I don't know what else they're doing over there.
Yeah.
It's nothing, possibly.
No. It's hard to know.
It's hard to know.
Yeah.
It's not hard to know. We have an answer.
Well, that's true.
We know that it's nothing.
Nothing. It's nothing.
It's hard to believe, but it's not hard to know.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, the other big story of the week is that Edward Snowden is a world traveler.
He was doing his today. Best Carmen Sandiego impression this week.
Correct.
For sure. He was everywhere and nowhere.
Yes.
We talked last week about how the government was saying that they couldn't find him. Meanwhile,
right.
he was, like, giving interviews with every press organization.
The press could find him.
The press could find him.
The White House couldn't.
But now we're sort of following his whereabouts.
Trail.
He's been all over the place.
He's been around.
It sounds like he may have
and he's
a
on his
final,
way around.
He may have a final destination.
Yeah. Well, he's giving his finale tour before heading to an undisclosed
right, exactly.
democratic nation.
He was in Hong Kong.
He was in Hong Kong.
And we filed
an extradition request
with
and we have a treaty with them. They're supposed to grant extradition, but they were sort of, like, not really trying to be
right.
involved.
And there's also, I think there's some provisions in it that sort of, like, if it's, like, a political...
Yeah, they can...
Like, they can sort of, like, request more information and things
yeah.
like that. So I think that they were sort of, like, under that sort of, you know, guise, they were saying that they
yeah.
weren't going to send it back. So he went from Hong Kong, and then he went to Russia.
Right. And Russia does not have an extradition treaty with us.
No.
And they were sort of like...
They... Yeah.
Fine. Be here. It's fine.
Right. Exactly. Fine.
WikiLeaks is helping him.
Yeah.
They're providing him with sort of
they have,
his
they're
itinerary.
They're the experts on this.
Yeah. So. Julian Assange is still living in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, so
yeah.
they would know a lot about extradition.
Yep.
Because that's all they're doing is avoiding it.
Right. Exactly.
So, and they said that, reports have said that he intends to fly to Cuba and then Venezuela.
Right.
I feel like Venezuela might be his final resting point. It's a thought I've been having.
Uh-huh.
He's not going to stay in Cuba because he's not going to present himself on the island that Guantanamo is on. Like, people kept saying that, and I kept being like, he's not going to go there, guys. Like, maybe he'll fly through there because he needs to fly through an East Coast airport, and
right.
that's one that he can land in.
Right.
But, like, he's not going to
He's got to refuel someplace.
He's got to refuel someplace, but he's not going to, like, go to Cuba and then be like, oh, this is convenient, because then if they do catch me, they don't have to pay to transport me to Guantanamo.
No.
Like, come on, guys. Use your heads.
But
anyway, I think Hong Kong sort of let him go because they didn't want to deal with it anymore,
right.
but they're still sort of involved in extradition talks with the U.S. They obviously didn't really want to get Beijing involved, I think,
yeah.
was the issue. Beijing, because Hong Kong is sort of semi-independent, Beijing can sort of, like, get involved with affairs
sure
like this, and they don't...
partially were, but I mean,
right.
like,
but what happened was, right before he left, he... The South China Morning Post reported that the U.S. had been hacking various targets in China. So suddenly
yes.
China got a lot less interested in helping.
Right.
So there's a lot
so
of...
So it was easier for them to let him leave, because then they sort of, like, didn't have
They
to,
didn't feel bad about that.
No.
At all. And so I think that that was part of why Hong Kong was sort of like, we're just going to hopefully not do anything and see what happens. China was like, we're not going to be involved. Russia was like, come here, we love criminals, and, you know...
yeah.
What, everyone
yeah.
did what they do.
It's... There was, you know, a lot of chatter this week, too, about, like, whether... I mean, we should be charging him, because, I mean, sort of, you know, I mean,
right.
obviously the government wants to, they've said that they
right.
fully intend to the sort of whatever extent they can.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, just this weekend I was reading something, I forgot about it, but, like, Nancy Pelosi sort of, like, was talking about this at some sort of, like, conference or something. It was, I don't know if it was Netroots or some progressive conference or whatever, and they were just sort of, like, she said that we should get him back and that he had broken the law and blah, 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 right. blah, and she got, like, almost booed out of the room.
Really?
Yeah. So...
I mean, it's sort of, it's an area that laymen don't have a lot of experience with necessarily, because this is the kind of thing that the government has like a real incentive to prosecute, because he was revealing state secrets.
Yes.
And so they get really up in arms about stuff like this because their whole prerogative is to protect state secrets, and you know, right. they're into that kind of yeah. thing. Regular citizens, because they already often feel like they're on the losing end of transparency
yeah.
laws in the first place, don't necessarily harbor any sort of, you know, anger towards people that reveal state secrets. As long as they feel like they too will benefit from the information. So yeah. I think a lot of Americans probably feel rightfully like knowing this is better than not knowing this for them, because they yes. know that, you know, they know that their data is not safe. And that is part of the reason that the government keeps this information secret is because it makes all of us feel like targets, even when we're citizens, right. and they don't want everyone in the US to feel like they too are an enemy of the government.
Yeah.
And so regular people don't feel the same way as government people feel about something like this, because government right. people have an incentive to protect these secrets because it's part of the work that they do yeah. and the way that they operate. And regular people are sort of on the losing end of that kind of surveillance, even when it's supposedly protecting them. Right. So,
and it's really, it's a hard one, you know, because there's just sort of like, you do want the government to be keeping us safe, but you don't want them. I think the problem with this story is that so many people sort of like, the only takeaway that most people got from this was that the government is spying on us.
Right.
Which isn't necessarily accurate. Yes, they're collecting data on us, but, you know, we heard in the testimony this week that, you know, people were doing sort of like, you know, they're looking at how long calls are. The phone numbers aren't attached to people's names.
Right.
Any sort of request for this information has to go through the FISA courts. I think what may ultimately come from this is whether those rulings are made public, because those rulings are private, the FISA court rulings are private.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the Democrats are the responsible ones, actually, who put all of these measures in place to make it so it's sort of hard for the government to actually even sort of, like, get access to this information.
Yeah.
I think, certainly, there can be a debate as to whether the government should or should not be doing it at all, but I just, you know, so many people are just, oh, the government's spying on us. It's like, well, I mean,
it's like we said last week, I don't feel like in its current state it's necessarily troublesome to me. I feel like the fact that I didn't know it was happening means that a lot of other things that I don't know that are happening could
right.
be happening.
Exactly. And I think that's what is more worrisome.
Yeah.
What they're doing, what we have found out that we're doing, that the government is doing, doesn't worry me. It's whether it's the whole slippery slope argument.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
at what point do they start listening to those phone calls? At what
right.
point, like you said, what else do we just not know about this?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I'm glad in the sense that we're talking about this. Like, I think that's the good thing about what Edward Snowden did. But, you know, I mean, we heard from various people this week who were talking about, like, specific terror attacks that were thwarted by collecting this information.
Right.
So, you know, it's just sort of...
Well, it's part of our political reality that is, you know,
right.
that is a newer part of our, you know,
right.
circumstance that is something we have to do something about that.
Right.
We could also actively not be going to war all the time. That might help. But
that would
if
help.
We're in the absence of that policy, we need to be doing something to thwart terror attacks all the time.
Yeah.
My sort of feelings about Snowden himself are very mixed as well, because I sort of, you know, I think it's sort of like, in, you know, it's nice that we know this now. It's nice that we're talking about this. It took someone like him to reveal
yes.
this information for us to start talking about it. I get the
but
sense that he
important.
Has
yeah.
slightly libertarian intentions with this information, which I don't necessarily
approve.
Well,
he also seems to be a little pompous.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, because the thing is, like, I know that the government needs to be carrying out certain amounts of secret activity in order to, like, keep the country safe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like, you know, I don't have my head in the sand when it comes to national security issues to that extent.
Right.
I would like as much to be transparent as possibly can.
Yes.
I would like to be sort of left alone as much as I possibly can
yeah.
be, unless it's for government services that I
right.
am paying for with my taxes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not surprising to me that the government has to do things
right.
like this. And so in some way, I sort of like, I don't want to compromise all of their security measures because I sort of want them to keep us secure still. Right. Like, I don't want to do that work myself.
Yeah.
So right. I sort of have a confused, you know, I have mixed yeah. feelings about Snowden's agenda.
Right. Yeah.
And
he also seems a little self-important too.
Yeah. Well, he's young. It yeah. seems like he's sort of like one of those young, really literal-minded libertarian guys. You know yeah. those guys. Everyone knows those guys. They're not geniuses.
No.
They think in really linear ways.
Yeah.
And because of that, they miss a lot of... They don't have... There's people out there who don't have a great amount of patience for subtleties of...
Yeah.
You know, and for complicating factors.
Yeah. Our last president was one of those people.
Correct. So... He seems like one of those
seeing gray
people.
Areas.
He can't, he's not, it's not that he can't see them, it's that he's not comfortable with them.
Yeah.
You know?
No, right, yeah.
He can see them and he wants to erase all of them. So he wants us to know exactly, and he wants us to know everything that the government is doing
yeah.
because either we do that or we have, or everything is lost.
Yeah.
There's not like an area in which we can be comfortable with that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Brent and I are sort of thinking of broader.
Yeah, well, we're fashion. Geniuses.
We're geniuses. We have a lot of room for gray areas. Uh-huh. That's all yeah. we have. We yeah. only have gray areas.
Yeah. I don't really have a gray area
no.
about climate because it's going to hell. And
shit's falling apart.
We need to do something about
right.
it. So Obama is getting, he's on the case.
He's this about to one pull of, one of his Dream Act
I know.
Moments.
This was one of the things, and he actually said, in his State of the Union, he said that we needed to get on climate, and he said that if the Congress didn't do anything about it, then he was going to do it himself, and he... He's coming through
yeah.
on it. He's going to make a speech this week where he's going to basically, like, outline all of the things that, you know, mostly, like, EPA regulations and things that sort of, you know, obviously he can do himself and
right.
just by bypassing
yeah.
Congress. So, bless his heart.
Yeah. I think one area of controversy that's going to come out of this is that he's not planning to comment on the Keystone Pipeline. And... He has not been one of the great environmentalist presidents in American history so far. I think progressives are really angry with
yeah.
him about that. And he can go on about a lot of this other stuff about limiting carbon emissions and setting up green energy and, you know, making
yeah.
it so that your refrigerator has, you know, is more efficient and whatever. But if he's not going to do anything to stand up to the oil industry,
yeah.
then we're going to continue to have problems because
yeah.
they're going to keep buying our,
yeah.
you know, our sort of like
well,
support.
The fact that he mentioned it, I know that sort of everyone, the general knowledge is that people think that he's going to go ahead and go through with Keystone Pipeline
right.
just because there's so much support for it. But I don't, the fact that he's talking about climate so much, he talked about it in State of the Union, sort of out of nowhere. The fact that he's talking about it now, the fact that he's doing all of these things basically just because he's fed up
with
it. I mean, I'm wondering if this is sort of like a moment that he's had like a bit of a revelation on.
Maybe it's his next gay marriage.
I hope.
I mean,
you know, and also just the fact that he hasn't, if he was going to approve the Keystone Pipeline, he just could have,
yeah.
really, at any point.
Yeah.
Like, there's no reason that he couldn't have just any time in the last 5.5 years gone ahead with it. I mean,
yeah.
they've approved it now. Basically, the State Department has approved it.
Right.
So, I mean, hopefully he's just trying to avoid it because he doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So, some of the specifics as to what he... intends to do are he wants to he's going to put limits on carbon emissions from both new and existing power plants. He wants to continue using renewable energy sources, which he's actually been pretty good on.
That he's been pretty good on
Wind,
and he wants to sort of just keep sort of expanding green energy.
Right, like it's gone up 60% basically between 2008 and 2012 in terms of renewable energy on public land.
Right.
So he's going to do that. There's going to be new
efficiency measures for
right.
appliances and
right.
stuff like that. And I think that probably a lot of these things are things that people have been just sort of like waiting on. Like they haven't really expanded efficiency standards that
yeah.
that recently. So I think that will probably be. You know, sort of, those will be helpful things. I think they're probably overdue. I think that they probably aren't going to be kind of, like, active in the
right.
way that they're just going to be sort of...
They're not going to solve climate change, but it's just sort of like, it's, you know, you got to do something.
You got to do something.
So, and he can't, this seems to be, like, all he can do with
well,
that.
Well, I'm sort of wondering, now that he has only been doing things by executive order, what else he could be doing via executive order. Could he be, like, what can he be declaring? Like, if he could decide that the Dream Act was something he could enact alone.
Right.
And he can suddenly institute green energy policies alone.
Yeah.
Like, do we need Congress at the moment? Like, could he just do everything?
Right.
What on his agenda can't he accomplish alone at this point?
Yeah, seriously.
Let's stop spending so much money on war. Let's unilaterally not get involved in Syria.
Well, those are things that he could be deciding.
Right.
And I know that.
Yeah. Those are things he's not deciding.
Right.
But
it's a good thing he's getting on to climate change, because there was an article this week in Rolling Stone that Miami is soon to be underwater.
Yeah. I've seen a similar article to this about New York, where... Right.
And I think San Francisco too, often gets lopped into
New York is not going to unilaterally be underwater, but what is going to happen is that a lot of New York is built on landfill, and the landfill is going to go...
Ooh.
We looked at where our house was, and fortunately that is safe.
No, okay, good.
Yeah, right. we're on a hill, sort of, so we're on some bedrock. But a lot of American cities are in danger, like New Orleans, of...
Yeah.
Of being underwater
when
ocean levels rise and when major hurricanes start to become the norm.
But this article is pretty apocalyptic. I mean,
really,
it's
apocalyptic.
Literally just sort of like, you know, it describes all of these issues that are going to happen. It, like, describes turf wars that'll break out. I mean, sort of is just like, could be made into a movie, basically.
It's everything like that I've suspected could happen to Miami if it was left to its own devices.
It's also things that I often think maybe are happening in Miami anyway.
Right, like turf wars are a new idea in Miami. But that's happening constantly.
I know.
Like, are insurance rates not already high in Miami?
Yeah, all
the place is at sea level.
Right. Miami is well equipped to get involved with turf wars and high insurance rates.
Yeah. That's something that their banks are going to stop issuing mortgages. Just, like, the whole country just had that happen.
Another day in the life of
Miami residents. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if that would maybe sort of push Florida into the blue a little. That's where the Cubans are.
Yeah, and they're
there's like the north. You know, North Florida's crazy, and no one wants to deal with them. But South Florida has this weird Republican enclave because it has all these Cubans.
Well, those people have to go someplace, though. Do they just move north?
I know. I'm wondering.
They would move to like
Alabama,
move
to like Mississippi
or something. Like, yeah,
like somewhere where they're already going to be absorbed.
Oh my God! Can you imagine like all of the Florida Cubans moving to Louisiana?
Oh my God. Cajun-Cuban turf wars could break out. It could be... Speaking of Cajuns, that's another lead-in to my Catholic story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been reading a book.
Let's just do it now.
Let's just do it.
Do it.
I've been reading a book about the Catholic Church in the 80s harboring pedophile priests, like they do at all time, like they have in all eras. And this one specifically was taking place in Louisiana, where it's already pretty corrupt.
Sure.
And I won't go into the details of the story because we all know that the Catholic Church is doing this.
Yeah.
But it's led me to wonder whether all religions that were initially based on Catholicism are maybe based on something fake and ridiculous. Not that I haven't wondered that before. But
I was going to say, this is a new revelation.
Catholics are not even following their own doctrines to the degree that they're harboring not just pederasts, but like murderers and like other things. Like, basically, if you're a Catholic priest and you commit a crime, they just cover it up.
You're safe.
Yeah, you're safe. Then what will happen is, like, the Vatican won't want to deal with the American Church about it, so they'll be like, it's the American Church's problem. The American Church will be like, well, we can't do anything without the Vatican. And then they just put you in a really fancy old age home. And then you just live your life out in peace.
Right.
Being a murderer, pederast, horrible person. And, you know, in... The Catholic Church sort of thinks that it has all of this sway because there are a lot of Catholic voters, but, like, none of the Catholic voters out there are actually adhering to Catholic rules about, like, birth control and abortion and things like that. Like, Catholics, when they need an abortion, go get one. They're not walking around being like, oh, I don't know what I should do. Like, evangelicals are preventing their own daughters from getting abortions.
Well, right.
But Catholics are getting abortions. They're using birth control. They're doing all of the things that everyone else does.
Yeah.
So, in any case... It's led me to wonder whether we're not...
You had a lot of revelations about the Catholic Church this week.
About the Catholic Church.
We were...
A lot of them have to do...
She was having them with me via instant messenger during the day.
The validity of any sort of doctrine that they initially endorsed.
Well, it's all... The thing about the Catholic Church is, like, that doctrine is made up. I mean, most church's doctrines to it are made up. But I mean, like, a lot of them are sort of like, you know, based on something, or based on the
Bible. Well, they're all based on the same thing that the Catholic Church's doctrine are based on.
Yeah, but not really.
The Catholic Church, though, is like the world's oldest, like, mega business.
True. Yes.
It's like a money-making operation. It taught churches how to make money.
Right.
It's not the only church out there that follows those rules, but it's the first one that did it.
True.
It is, it's highly secretive. It's very paternalistic. It's, you know, it's all of those things as well. But it's based on some of the most absurd conceits in the history of the world. One being that you can have a clergy made up of sexless people.
Yeah.
Who, like, that's not a thing people are.
No. But what I'm saying, in the sense that what you're talking about,
right,
is like
that's their actual doctrine is
right. Like that's people being, you know, being a sexless leaders.
Right. That doesn't happen in other churches.
That doesn't happen in other churches. Also, doesn't happen in the Bible.
No.
That's what I mean. Like their doctrine is being made up. They just came up with a bunch of wacky rules that doesn't have anything to do with anything.
As they came up with wacky rules, but they also were sort of the original moral arbiters of any Christian tradition.
Yes.
And those morals are still things that are not, that are almost secular at this point. They're so common.
Right.
And they might all be fake and made up.
Yeah.
Everything that we think is true might not be true because the Catholic Church is even bigger liars than I thought they were.
Probably.
It's some mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah.
Friends.
All right.
Moving on.
Back to other topics.
I might have other thoughts about the Catholic Church later.
Yeah, just bring them up whenever.
All of my thoughts about the Catholic Church are just sort of like,
I'm not going to stop you.
Exclamations of shock. I don't have any actual, articulate thoughts about it. It's just shock.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Catholic Church either. So
nobody should be.
If you want to stop any of these stories to talk about the Catholic Church, then
I know.
Let me know. Wink at me or something, or scratch your nose or do something. I don't know. Just whatever you want.
Having a thought about the Catholic Church.
Yeah,
right
or
now.
Just throw your hands up and do that.
Well, I do that a lot.
Or you can do this, where you put your hand over your head.
Oh, yeah, like, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. So back to other topics.
Yes.
Gun control was...
I'm also a fan of this.
This is a good one. Gun control sort of back in the news this week because... Because
Joe Biden is making it back in the news,
which... Good. You know,
yeah.
I mean...
Well, this was his thing that he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
He was tasked with passing gun control.
Right.
He's still got to do it.
Yeah. So, basically, he was making some speech this week or something, but he said that at least... he was at the U.S. Conference of Mayors in Vegas. And, he said that at least 5 senators have called him looking for a way to change their votes to support expanding background checks.
Not surprised by that, because all of their approval ratings tanked, because like 90 billion percent of Americans support this.
And he said that in the speech, too. And so I think that, I don't know if he's made, I love the at least 5.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like that's a very Ted Cruz thing of him to say.
You know 12 communists.
12 communists at Harvard right now. At least 5 senators, give or take 5, right, have called me and told me that they would like their vote back. Which 5? I'm not at liberty to say.
Not yet.
They know who they are.
Exactly. And if you're going to use that language, you might as well say at least 17, at least 35. Go with any number.
I know.
At least 100 senators have called me to revoke their disapproval of the background of background checks.
But anyway, I mean, I hope that's true, Joe Biden.
I hope that next week we'll have another story that will be like,
I know,
we're going to now talk about gun control again.
Yeah.
Because it would be great also if this came up just as the House was being so shamed about not being able to do anything that they were forced to vote on it.
Well, the thing about this, and I heard somebody, I can't remember where I was listening to this, but somebody was debating, talking about this week, I think it was on MSNBC, but they were talking about just, you know, everybody was so mad that this didn't happen the first time, and rightfully so. But sort of, you know, and you would hope that it wouldn't take this long, but, you know, the Brady Bill was passed, like, in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Brady was shot in the early 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, that took a decade. I mean, to sort of, like, get any sort of meaningful thing on the books, like, when everybody was so mad about the attempted Brady assassination.
I also think...
So, you hope it doesn't take a decade, but, I mean, like...
It could.
All of the lawmakers are saying, well, this isn't over yet, this isn't over yet, and... When it first went down, my thoughts were, well, that's over. And so the fact that we're still talking about it this week, the fact that it, you know, there have been things like this that have taken a while, makes me at least a little bit more hopeful than I was when this immediately failed, that nothing was going to happen.
I also think, well, I think there are two things that are happening. One is that a lot of news outlets have been running minor local stories about small shootings that have been happening because of kids having access to guns, because of guns getting to the hands of the wrong people. HuffPo reports at least once a week with a headline, like a major headline about a small shooting that otherwise was not getting reported. So we're getting a lot more news about it. It hasn't left the news like it would have otherwise.
Right.
And I also, I think that the NRA kind of shot their wad that last time around.
Oh, yeah.
They've been so discredited that when they try to chime in the next time, everyone's going to be like, really, guys? Come, well, slow your roll.
And Bloomberg's group. There's never been a group like that that's existed group that has money.
Yeah, that has money behind it that is in favor of gun control. And also, we have some motivated mayors because Chicago, everyone is just dying of gun violence left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Bloomberg is another motivated mayor that's motivated for unknown reasons, but good for him.
Right.
I think probably, you know, Garcetti will be a motivated mayor. Villaraigosa was a motivated mayor. I think that there will be some powerful mayors that will be motivated because this is not just something that will help people in rural areas where everyone has a gun stop being the victims of accidental shootings, but it will be of benefit to people in cities. It's something that rural people and city people should all agree will help them, which is such a rare thing to
it
happen.
It really is. Yeah. That nobody wants to die from gunshots.
Nobody wants to die of just a random gunshot. No.
That's
the last thing anyone needs.
Exactly.
In every part of the country.
Yeah.
The last thing.
Oh, gosh. This
But if
is
you're
going to
die
doozy,
of a gunshot,
you would at least want it to smell like bacon.
Right.
Unless you're Muslim.
Unless you're Muslim.
But
well, here's the thing.
Even if you're Muslim, it probably doesn't make such a difference. The logic on this next story that we're going to bring to
it's
you
some real
is,
American
is
logic.
Is American flawed logic coming straight
some
to
classic,
us from Ohio.
Some classic Idaho.
Classic
Idaho logic. You said Ohio.
Oh, Ohio. Okay.
Now,
good. Well, as soon as
leave it
as
to me to
said,
say.
As soon as you said it's Idaho, I was afraid that I had said Iowa.
Oh.
And being from there.
You thought, I just was excommunicated from my home state.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
No, because we were never
these were all states that we don't care about. But.
Right. Anyway, so there's a group that, a ammunition manufacturer is still angry about the building of an Islamic cultural center near Ground Zero.
Yeah, remember when that broke out? That nonsense argument about.
So they decided to fight back with a new line of pork-laced bullets. And it actually has a fairly clever name.
Yeah, thank God the name is clever because the idea is not.
It's called G-Hog Ammo. Yes. It's called a defensive deterrent to those who violently act in the name of Islam. The bullets are laced, they have paint that is laced with pork in them. And it's designed to, the pork is unclean in the Muslim religion. So it's designed to send them straight to hell.
Yes. According to them, it will prevent any terrorists from entering paradise.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It says, with G-Hog ammo, you don't just kill an Islamic terrorist. You also send him to hell. That should give would-be martyrs something to think about before they launch an attack. If it ever becomes necessary to defend yourself and those around you, or our ammo works on two levels. Also, first off, nobody in Idaho is... There's no terrorist attacks going on there. Nobody wants to...
Certainly not terrorist attacks that you could defend with guns.
No.
Defend yourself with guns.
Well, you rarely can.
Right.
Is one
thing. Like, are you going to shoot at an airplane that's flying into a building? Like,
yeah, that's what you do.
Like, what's...
That's what you do.
Kill some innocent people
But the company's website had some other gems. Like, they have... One of the taglines is, peace through pork. Which, peace through pork? Like... Just murdering people randomly.
The opposite of peace.
Right. Peaceful. They say it's a peaceful and natural deterrent to radical Islam.
They make it sound like it's like the kind of pepper spray you use on your plants to get cats to stop peeing on them.
Right.
Like that sort of thing.
Yeah. They also have a line of t-shirts.
Yes.
That say, put some ham in Mohammed. Mohammed.
Mohammed.
Yes. Clever.
Boom.
Yeah. So at least they've sort of like got some good copywriters on the case.
That's all they have.
That's right.
They don't have some good Quran readers on the case.
No, they don't.
Because there's nothing in Islam or any religion that prohibits you from eating pork.
Right,
that would indicate that being killed by a pork-laced flying object of any sort would prevent you from entering.
Right, that's what
paradise.
This article we were reading basically has a quote from like a professor of religious studies at Gonzaga University, and basically they're saying that like this, it doesn't.
Yeah, there's not a penalty for coming into contact with pork. You're just not supposed to eat it.
Right. And, yeah.
And
Certainly it'll kill you. We're not saying it won't kill you.
Right.
But it's not going to...
The bullet will
kill you. It's not going to keep them out of paradise.
No.
Right.
It will... You'll go to wherever you would have gone sans bullet.
Right.
Now, if you're committing a terrorist act, I would argue that's probably not paradise.
Well, that's what I was just going to say
You might be
myself.
Keeping yourself out of paradise just by... So... you don't even need a pork bullet in that situation. Right. But I was thinking about this because there's a similar Jewish dietary law. Like,
yeah.
Because these laws are all sort of based on the same thing. And I think that a lot of them have to do with foods that were safe and unsafe for consumption back in biblical times.
Right.
Because like shellfish and pork and foods like that were not very safe to eat.
Right.
You know, back in biblical times. And so that's why a lot of older religions have, you know, prohibitions on eating them. Yeah. But I once got into a crazy argument with somebody about why pork is prohibited in Judaism and Islam. And they were like, because it says so in the Bible. And I was like, or maybe it was written in the Bible to protect Jews so they wouldn't die of trichinosis and they could keep being people. And he was like, no, you just do it because it says so in the Bible. And I was like, isn't it happier to think that they were looking out for you and not just making you follow arbitrary rules for no reason? There is not a penalty for coming into contact with pork. You don't die if you come...
Right.
It's an accident that happens to everyone. Even people who keep strict kosher or follow Islamic dietary laws strictly sometimes accidentally come into contact with pork. Pigs are everywhere.
Yeah.
Pork is everywhere. Bacon is everywhere. Yep. You can't stop it, you know?
One place that bacon is, is anything that Paula Deen makes.
In the stomach and air.
I was also going to go with something. Speaking of someone who has no dietary restrictions, I had a couple lined up here, but she is in a real freaking fandango right now.
You already know about it. I mean, there's no way that anyone in the world not know about
it. Yeah, this could have been the lead story. Not that important, but I mean, but it's the lead story in the sense that it's what everybody cares about right now.
It's the lead story.
Sorry.
Ren Stog is having some real behavioral problems today.
I just had her on my lap and she started growling, so I just chucked her onto the bed. I literally threw my dog halfway across the room onto the bed.
Someone had to do it. In any case, Paula Deen is part of a lawsuit, or she's been named in a lawsuit against her and her brother that alleges
Bubba
her brother Bubba Hire that a former employee of theirs has launched that alleges that her and her brother that she experienced sexual and racial harassment while working at one of their restaurants or two of their restaurants I think during her 5 years employed by them.
You want to know the name of a restaurant that I don't want to eat at? Bubba's Seafood and Oyster House.
Yep. Bubba and oyster do not
go
together for me.
Bubba's Barbecue or something, potentially, I'm into going to.
Sure.
But
Bubba's Seafood and Oyster House?
Oyster House?
Bubba Gump Shrimp? Also,
I know, but I don't want to go there.
Well, no one wants to go there. That's a place that
you have to go to City Walk to go there.
Yeah, and that's a place we don't go, unless we're looking for Dippin' Dots.
Right, exactly. But anyway, thanks to the National...
She gave a deposition.
Right, thanks to the National Enquirer, we got some details on her deposition, because there was video of it, obviously.
Right.
And so the thing that has been... There's a few gems in this deposition, but the most sort of... The one that's gotten the most attention, for good reason, is that they... The woman who brought the lawsuit's lawyer said, Ms. Deen, have you told racial jokes? She said, no, not racial. And then they said, have you ever used the N-word yourself? And she said, yes, of course.
Right.
So...
Not a response that anyone from any other region of the country would have anticipated.
No.
Hearing from the mouth of a white person, at least.
Right.
Or really any person who's giving a deposition in this circumstance.
Yeah.
And this was a real controversy at my office.
And
in every environment that I have been in since, because people got real up in arms about this, which, I mean, with good reason. Like, people shouldn't be using the N-word, obviously.
No, and that, I think, is the point. Because you and I talked about this a lot earlier at the pool. It was a good pool topic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, you have to be smart enough to not be using that word at work when you work with African Americans. And also, you should just be smart enough to just not be using that word ever, really.
Yeah.
But the conclusion that I came to is that just sort of like, I think that she's not so much racist as she's stupid, potentially.
Well,
I mean, like,
what I was saying at work, because there was a weird conversation at work where somebody who's from the East Coast and, you know, well-educated and whatever and white turned to one of my coworkers who's African American and was furious that he wasn't more upset about this. And we got into this argument where I was like, you know, she doesn't know what she doesn't know. She's from Savannah, Georgia. She's from a place where people have been tossing casually racist things into conversation her whole life.
Right. And it's been
she doesn't know what she doesn't know.
It's been in her lifetime
Yeah, that has changed.
Right. I mean, you know, she's 66.
People's grandparents are still calling Asians Orientals all up and down the country.
My grandmother does that.
Yeah.
She asks about my Oriental roommate, and she does it because she really cares about how he is.
Exactly. She just doesn't know.
She doesn't know. Yeah. And this is different.
Obviously, this is different. But I'm just saying...
Don't get us wrong here.
The way that language has been used in that region. In our lifetime, that's never been... The N-word has never been acceptable in any region we've lived in. No. But in Savannah, Georgia, white people have been saying the N-word. Yeah. And probably she grew up around people saying the N-word. And she grew up in a racist environment where casual racism was part of sort of the accepted culture. In a way, you know, I was comparing it to Los Angeles because when I moved to Los Angeles, I was... often really shocked to hear people say really overtly racist things about Mexicans.
Right, and you were shocked about that.
Because that kind of commentary would have never flown there. I'm sure there are other things that people do in the Northeast that are horrific that we don't even think about. But there are ways that you get sort of like immune to the casual racism of your own environment because I've now reached a point where people say so many crazy racist things about Mexicans here that I can't fight every comment. You have to nod and smile and just sort of let it go at a certain point because you'd never get through a freaking conversation if you didn't. And so my feeling about Paula Deen in relation to this was that we can certainly hold her up as a person who was not being smart because she was a public figure and she should have learned.
Yes.
But she also couldn't know what she didn't know.
Right.
And this wasn't the most offensive thing, in my opinion, that she said in that. It was hilarious.
No, it wasn't.
What I said when I heard that question had been asked and she'd answered that way, I said, if someone had asked me whether Paula Deen had ever used the N-word, I would have also said, of course.
Right, exactly.
She gave the answer I would have given.
Yeah, I think probably more inflammatory
her comments about the racist joke she was making.
Right, well, and she also...
She's not sorry about those.
No, she's not sorry about those. She said, I can't determine what offends another person. She was like, most jokes are about black people or Jewish people or redneck people. Like, I don't know. And then she also, supposedly they're saying that she said something to the effect of like, how she wanted for a wedding that she was doing about casting black men as slaves at the wedding, basically.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to be
casting
the
them
servants
as like servers, basically.
Yeah.
And she was saying it was based on some restaurant that she went to, P.S. I believe that, in the South,
too.
Where their waiters were all black and the customers were all white. And she thought it would be a great, I don't know, Civil War era wedding idea, which is A, insane.
Right.
But B, welcome...
War of Northern Aggression.
Yeah, welcome to the War of Northern Aggression.
Yeah.
Like, this is happening in the South, and I think more than me feeling like Paula Deen sort of deserves to be... Because a lot of the language that I heard describing this was sort of, like, more aggressive than I even felt like it needed to be, and it had a sort of, like, bizarrely sexist undertone to it, because...
Fighting racism with sexism.
Right. Well, that's what it sort of felt like, because it was all about how stupid she was.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We're saying that, too. Like, she was being stupid. I don't...
Also, she might just be stupid.
She might be stupid. But I mean, like, the types of, like, vehement reactions that I heard about this story from people who regularly make horrible misogynistic jokes was, like, out of control.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is sort of, like, this is an interesting commentary on the point that we're at, sort of, like... in terms of, like, educated, elitist East Coast culture, because it's, like, I can't even say the N-word in reference to someone else saying the N-word. On the East Coast, it's a word you don't say. It's an unspoken word. I once heard someone call a bus driver the N-word, and the whole bus, like, nearly fainted. Like, it was, like, a moment where an entire city bus stopped their conversation and turned and stared in horror.
Yeah.
And an old lady tried to beat the guy up. But, I mean, this is, like, sort of an accepted part of... you know, East Coast culture. You don't say that word.
Yeah.
But apparently, you can make horrible misogynistic jokes all day long, and that's not considered equivalent, because the same people who were like, well, I don't participate in any of the jokes about Mexicans in L.A., and I would never use the N-word, are people that were referring to this story in a way that was sort of...
She was being a dumb lady.
She was being a dumb woman. Like, and it was sort of like, it's been an interesting topic of discussion, because it reveals a lot about sort of... I think this is another story that people, literal-minded people, have a hard time with.
Yeah.
because...
No, it is.
Because this is a shade of gray.
She's either racist or she's not racist.
Right. Like, this is a woman who probably is racist.
That was what I was going to say. We've been talking about how, she, you know, she may not be racist. She may just be dumb.
No, she's definitely racist.
She could very well be racist,
100%
too.
100% racist. Let's not kid ourselves. She's definitely racist.
Yeah.
She's just... You don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
She's someone who gives... She's a good example of why people need to know in the yeah. South, you know, of what the cultural divide that kind of separates us from a place like yeah. Savannah, Georgia is. And she's someone who is not smart enough to see past her own experience
yeah.
because there are people that are smart enough to get, you know, to get out of that.
Of course.
But she's obviously not someone who can see past her own experience.
Yeah.
She too might be a literal minded person.
She might.
But I mean, you can't, the idea that she had used the N-word was not the sort of like
wasn't
thing,
shocking.
It wasn't shocking to me. It wasn't the thing that I got hung up on.
No.
I sort of feel like the hilarious apology videos and all of this stuff have
that
almost
apology
been,
video where she was like,
oh my god,
an insane color.
I'm starting to feel bad for her just because she can't speak for 45 seconds without cuts.
No, I know.
This is
like
a woman who can't give
like,
a 45 second speech without
there were like
seven,
six cuts in that.
Yeah,
like white flashes.
Exactly. Sort
of like, what was going on? She had to keep doing
like,
that. And also, like, should she not have a script? Like, could she have not read it? I mean, she's a TV host.
Yeah.
She's obviously read... She's read
teleprompter.
There were
so many other baffling things about this that made me feel like she was a victim of her own
horribleness. I feel like I'm racist against whatever color she was.
Yeah, the orange color.
The orange color. I'm racist against orange people.
Orange people are the worst.
Terrible. Yeah. That was odd.
It was such an odd...
Very weird.
The whole thing led to, like, a very odd series of, like... internet comments, a lot of weird conversations.
Yeah.
It's been sort of like the most fascinating story of the
it
week
has.
Because she's a very like unlikely, she's an unlikely person to target for this kind of thing
yeah.
because didn't we all know this already?
Well, right. And also,
are
I mean,
we shocked to find out that Paula Deen was using the N-word?
No, we shouldn't be.
I mean, who was shocked? Who has been buying her cookbooks and watching her show and sat there and thought to themselves, this woman has always felt that equality was the most important thing in the world. This is a woman with diabetes who's been feeding you butter for like 20 years.
I'm just gonna say, like, she's potentially a sociopath.
She might be a sociopath, but like, is this like, is she really losing her livelihood over something that those Food Channel people should have known in the first place?
Well, she is because she just got
she
fired.
Is. She got fired from everything.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was sort of like, did the Food Network hire her and not think that she was a person who had ever said the N-word?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
This incident that this lawsuit is in reference to was years ago.
Ages ago, yeah.
So it's not, like, she hasn't been, like, using the N-word on their programming or anything like
no.
that. But, like, did they hire
yeah.
a southern rich lady and
she
think to themselves,
a,
this woman has she, always spoken in the highest regard?
She always has a minstrel segment on her show,
yeah.
though. So that should have been the first sign that
yeah.
maybe she was a little racist.
Like,
she doesn't.
Guys, we're the stupid ones if we couldn't pick that up immediately.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy. Anyway, now we enter the conspiracy theory portion of
yes.
our podcast, because Michael Hastings died this week, and he was a journalist for Rolling Stone, and he sort of, like, wrote the piece that ended up making General Stanley McChrystal
resign. Yeah.
So, he died, he was 33, died in a car crash in Los Angeles this week, but, like, hours before he died in this car crash, he sent an email to some friends, basically saying that he
yeah.
was onto a big story, and that he was going to have to go off the grid for a while.
Yeah, and there's speculation that that story had to do with Petraeus.
Right, and also, not only that, there were a few WikiLeaks tweets, I think, after the fact that said that, like, he and his friends were, like, weren't that, wasn't he being investigated by the FBI or something like that?
Yeah, although the FBI has denied that, but also,
right.
why would they admit to
why,
it?
Right.
Like,
yes, correct.
yeah,
we were following.
Yep.
We ran him off the road,
exactly.
actually. I mean, like, yeah, exactly.
But so, this has given rise to a whole conspiracy.
Yes.
Bonanza.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy bonanza going on right
yeah,
now.
It really is. But, you know, I mean, it's too bad because he was, I mean, it's too bad because he was young and it was tragic.
Right.
But I mean, like, I mean, he was a really sort of great up and coming, you know,
investigative journalist.
I mean, he was only 33 and he'd already done like a lot of great stuff and was probably going to do a lot more. Was probably on to a big story. I mean, I have no doubt of that. I mean, he sort of has proven himself as someone who can handle the big story.
We'll follow a big story.
Yeah.
But that was a big, that was another big conspiracy, sort of, or the big conspiracy. I said
yeah.
another, like, there had
we
been.
We had talked it.
We yeah. had a second one.
No.
The first one I was referring to was not a thing.
Great. Next.
Anyway.
Oh boy, Sean Hannity is just a real gem. I mean, we knew that he was terrible, but he more reasons to think so this week because he did an interview with Playboy, which is a curious choice for him, basically.
And he's probably a fan.
He's probably a fan, and he's also just probably a press whore. I mean, he's not.
Oh yeah,
it's not saying no to interviews when someone wants to put him on the cover of, well, he's not on the cover of Playboy, but that would be upsetting.
Thankfully.
That would be upsetting. But anyway, there were a couple sort of, like, notable moments in this. One where he got really worked up about the Fox News ratings decline, because that has actually happened, and he basically tried to say that it hadn't. So the interviewer asked him, he said, now, Fox News ratings are down, and your show in particular has taken a hit this year. And he said, no, actually, our ratings are back up, Playboy. Your ratings were down 35% in February. And then he said, well, from the year before, which was an election year. And then they said, oh, dun, 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 Rachel Maddow has beaten you in your time slot. And he said, never, not once, both with exclamation points. And then Playboy said, well, she has in the key 25 to 54-year-old demographic. And he said, but overall, we're at double her ratings. You've got to be careful how you make these comparisons. So he got really worked up when they asked him about Fox News ratings and Rachel Maddow beating him because, like, that is not what you want.
No.
But the real gem here...
He doesn't have the greatest grasp of geography, as you might have imagined.
Which we knew.
We knew about the facts. He also, as it turns out, is not clear on the difference between Indonesia and Kenya.
Right.
Those are two countries that he's mixing up.
Both are places where Obama could have potentially grown up, per Sean Hannity.
Right.
Because they asked him if he
regretted saying that Obama grew up in Kenya.
Right.
On his show in 2011, and he said, but he did grow up in Kenya. And he told the New York Times he went to school there, and one of the most beautiful things on the planet is Islamic prayer at sunset. You know, Islamic prayer in Kenya, where there's lots of Islamic prayer happening. And then he later added, he went to a Muslim school in Indonesia, or wherever it was, Kenya. I forgot. Now you've got me. I think it was Indonesia. I'm trying to remember his biography. It's going back so long.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. The one other country that Obama went to school in, I could have clarified for him that it was Indonesia, P.S.
Yeah.
And the Muslim prayer comment was a clue that he gave himself that he failed to follow. But as it turns out, part of his objection to Obama might be based on the fact that he doesn't really know what Obama's background is at all.
No.
It's not clear on what he means by anything.
No. He just knows that he's a foreign Muslim.
Yeah.
That's all he knows.
From Kenya.
Or Indonesia.
Or Indonesia.
Or
he can't. Or he asked to remember these things.
Or any country that is not America. Here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one thing he knows is that he was not born in Hawaii, where
not
we have documentary proof.
That he was.
That he was.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
One thing that we know for sure.
That's a lie.
That's couldn't be anything but a lie, because they have a paper to prove it. They wouldn't need a paper if it wasn't a lie.
Yeah. But we don't have his school records.
Right. You know how school records...
Remember when my aunt posted that article about someone saying that one of his old supposed friends from Harvard said that he didn't actually go there or something like that. Like, there's a whole bunch of...
The old...
These people are crazy.
School records.
They're crazy. You would hope someone who was on the TV wouldn't be quite as crazy, but...
You'd be wrong. Well, there's nothing entertaining about someone reporting clear facts in a dry, straightforward manner.
Yeah.
If we didn't have these people on television, we wouldn't have the entertainment news network that is Fox News.
Yeah.
It's just entertaining news and not real news.
Oh, boy. Serena Williams.
Oh, yeah.
I've had so much trouble with Serena Williams ever since she threatened the life of that poor lines woman during that match with Kim Clijsters at the U.S. Open a couple years ago. And I was finally back around to liking her.
Yeah.
You know? But no more. Because
no more.
She is in some hot water this week that she's been trying to very ineffectively climb out of by her apology that we'll get to in a second. But basically, she was interviewed... in Rolling Stone, and they somehow got onto the topic of the Steubenville rape case, which we've covered on here, which was the one where the sort of, like, all of the kids were texting about, there were all of the photos taken and YouTube clips, and there was, like, the 16-year-old girl, and it was all the football players, and it was a small town in Ohio, and whatever. And she was very obviously really drunk.
Yeah.
So, obviously, when asked about it, Serena blamed her for being drunk, basically.
Yeah.
She said she shouldn't have put herself in that position unless they slipped her something. Then that's different. She said, but if you're a 16-year-old and you're drunk like that, the parents should teach you don't take drinks from other people.
Here's how I read this. I feel like this was a child athlete being sort of resentful that she didn't get to have a normal childhood. No, I know. But I'm saying, she was looking back and being like, this 16-year-old, when I was 16, I would never have done this because I was a highly specialized child athlete.
She was already on tour by then.
Exactly. So she probably has no sympathy for regular people.
No.
Not people that haven't lived the restricted life that she was living when she was 16. Right. But when she apologized, she said, what was written, what I supposedly said, is insensitive and hurtful. So she didn't actually admit to saying any of it in her apology. Right. She was just like, if I had said that, I guess I'd be sorry. But since I just supposedly said it, I guess that would have been bad if I had said it.
Yeah. But it's just, it's so, I mean, it's so stupid. It's such a stupid thing to say. I mean, like this, and it's annoying for someone in her position to do things like this, because I feel like this is a thing that we struggle with in our culture for some reason that I don't understand. But I mean, victims of crimes like this get blamed all of the time.
All the time.
And the media does it. I mean, and I just sort of like, she has to know better. It's her job to know better.
Yeah.
I realize that she's not supposed to necessarily like be going around making political statements all the time. But I mean, I just feel like when she's smart enough to know that when you're asked about something like this, you don't say something like that.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman. I just like,
I was going to say, like, she's a woman in public. Like, this is,
like, she may as well have asked, like, well, what was she wearing? You know? I mean, like, it's like, basically that's what she did. You know, it's the sort of classic she was asking for it.
Yeah.
Argument.
And it's which is sort of like, a favorite standby of white men.
Right.
But you're not expecting
women. Which,
if that
were the case, Serena Williams is asking for it every time she wears something terrible on the tennis court.
Or life.
Showing
Serena Williams is permanently asking for it.
Asking to be raped almost daily.
Right. If that's the line of reasoning that she subscribes to.
Oh, man. So, anyway. But the funny thing is that she also said something, and she didn't, it was about an unnamed player, but she sort of is known to not get along with Maria Sharapova.
Right.
Like, off the court. And so there was some comment that she made about her, and like, they're all getting ready for Wimbledon. Wimbledon starts on Monday. And they asked Maria about it, and she like came back and like made some comment about like Serena's dating, because Serena's maybe supposedly dating her coach or something who was married or something. I don't even remember, but like, the Serena and Maria drama could be real at Wimbledon, because they would play each other in the final. And they just played each other in the final of the French Open. So everybody is sort of like secretly hoping that they get to like battle it out on the court as they're sort of like also battling it out, you know, with words.
With words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway. Oh boy. And in final news.
This is, by the way, a story that when this news broke, someone who I've never spoken to in my life that I take ballet with every day, like, was reading on his phone in the stairs and like just turned back to whoever was behind him, which was me, and announced.
Yeah.
Because it was just too, it was too important that everyone
know. I know. I was at, so it was on Thursday, and I was at, I had this convention called Promax, which is like this big sort of like marketing convention where all of like the promo people and the networks go and everything and sort of like talk about how great they are. And, and the agents that I work for won Agency of the Year.
Woo!
So,
yay.
Go me. And us. Go us.
Go us. Team.
But anyway, we were sitting in, like, this big hall, and Jay Moore was hosting the awards ceremony.
Sure.
And came out after, like, a break and, like, had checked his Twitter feed and saw that people were posting this, and it had just happened, and he announced to the room, and everybody was like, nope. Like, nobody was believing. He was literally, like, throwing his hands up in the air, like, I am not kidding. Everybody was just laughing as if it was, like, he had just made, like, the funniest joke ever, because nobody could possibly be that ridiculous. Like, nobody understood that, like, that was actually real, unless they were sort of, like, looking at their phone at the exact moment. But, like, it was just really funny, because it was too ridiculous to be true, but it was actually true.
Yeah. This is what happened.
Yeah.
Well, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West had a baby.
Yeah. And its name is Northwest.
Northwest. Now, this was something that broke months ago that everyone thought was a hoax.
Right.
It got reported.
We talked about it.
We talked about it already.
Yeah.
Like, months ago. And everyone was so disbelieving of it that it got dismissed entirely from the world's memory.
Do you think that it was... That's a helicopter.
Yeah.
Do you think that... do you think that it was something that somebody said as a hoax, and then they decided to go with it just as sort of like a fuck you.
I don't know.
I don't think they're that clever.
No.
Kanye's maybe that clever.
Yeah.
Kim's far too dumb.
She's not a clever person.
She's not a thinker.
Not a thinker.
Mm-hmm. No.
But this is a real person in the world who is now going to have to go through life with the name Northwest.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, I just sort of like, you know, look.
You're not setting your child up for success.
No, like, even sort of some ridiculous baby names that we've seen, you know, sort of like Apple Paltrow. Like, yes, like, that's crazy. But, like, also, it's sort of like, to name your baby Northwest, you have only done that as a joke.
Yeah.
And
this
like,
is a
at
child.
Least with Apple, like, it's a dumb name.
Right.
But at least it's sort of like, it wasn't done in a way that was like, the only reason that you name your baby North, if your last name is West, is to sort of like.
Make a pun.
To make a pun. And it's just sort of like, that's not fair. Is it as dumb as Apple to be called North? I mean, I would rather be called North than Apple.
Sure.
But my last name is Thornburg.
Right.
So that's different.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like.
No, this is going to be a kid who's never going to be in a public environment where someone new learns their name and doesn't snicker.
Exactly.
I mean, Bren has a coworker with a funny name. We won't say what it is, but it's someone who is a part of his everyday life.
Yeah.
And Bren now has just sort of like gotten used to it. And I still snicker every time that I hear the
name.
Is able to get by, but he's been working for years with this person. Yeah. There are certain names that you just can't outlive.
Yeah.
Every new person that meets Northwest is going to giggle about it first before they meet the Northwest.
And it's not fair.
That's sort of not fair to the child.
No, it's not fair. But anyway.
Also, I'm curious what led them to that direction over East or South.
Yeah, right?
Like what? They love Seattle a lot?
Yeah.
I
don't know.
Look, I mean, because
Southwest.
You got Santa Fe.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, Arizona.
Yeah.
Exciting
times.
But
to tie it back into politics, basically, Representative Jeff Duncan, who is actually a Republican, who I'm now very much a fan of, tweeted something that was taken down pretty much almost seconds after he tweeted it. But he tweeted, Kim and Kanye have named their baby Northwest. In related news, the Death Star now has a good enough reason to destroy Earth. So, good work,
Jeff Duncan.
So he
sort of had a moment of being an American hero.
Yeah, he did.
Nah, and then, Jeff Duncan.
And then realized
that he didn't want the heroism that badly.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, boy.
In any case, next week we'll be doing a bi-coastal
podcast.
Yes,
that'll
be exciting.
It'll be very exciting.
Yeah. And then, you know.
I'll have just been to Disney World.
Right.
Or Disneyland or whatever.
It's not Disney World.
I always forget.
You're not going to Disney World.
I'm going to Disney World.
You'll be somewhere else.
Yeah. It's going to be exciting.
So we'll have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
So stay tuned.
And we'll talk to
you
then.
And follow us on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
We're into it.
It's important.
It's really important. Yeah.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.